Time parameters.
9 minutes.
Hello, Nine Skulls, and welcome to Season 2 of the DS9 Minute, the green shirt minicast where we discuss an episode of Deep Space Nine in less time than it took Kira and O'Brien to decide who was going to play the Bajoran prostitute and who would play the pimp. There's a little bit of a conversation there. I am Cameron, who, along with Rob here, was just too busy taking girls to the holosuites to watch DS9.
You wish. Come on.
Big pimpin'. Here we are.
Yeah.
And with us, the opposite of reluctant heroes who have eagerly watched all of DS9 before, Miss Bobby Blue.
I can be a slut, I can be a warrior, I can be whatever you want. I'm care specialist.
And producer John T. Bolds.
Hey man, as long as it involves dancing with my brother in a huge lodge overlooking a waterfall, I'm all good.
Oh yeah. This week, we watched Homecoming. Producer John, let's dance.
Here we go.
Okay, is it really that easy to get people to do things for you just by using sex appeal? I mean, I know this works, but why haven't I used especially my luscious boobs in this factor? I don't know. Like, how do people do this?
I was going to say, you tell us, Bobby.
I don't know. I've never done it.
Well, based on the title and the first few minutes of this episode, I totally thought this was going to be like a screwball comedy about Jake and Nog both taking the same girl to homecoming dance. Ah, nice. Wasn't quite that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just amazed. I'm going to jump a little bit later on to the episode. I'm amazed how readily O'Brien is to sacrifice his life, despite the fact that he has a wife and child back on the station.
Oh, my God. Yes. What the fuck?
About O'Brien. He's not sacrificing his life. He's fucking confident in his abilities, and he'll live forever. He knows it. That's how he lives his life.
I would argue that when he gets home, Keiko's like, what the motherfucking Miles? And anyways, that's not my point.
Do you think he told her he was sleeping with another woman during that time?
I just think that's a crazy risk of his, especially because he doesn't even necessarily like feel like he should be on DS9. His wife's like, should I leave? Once there's this like, I don't know. I feel like obviously Miles is dedicated as a officer, right? I guess. But that's not my point.
Hey, hurry.
Sorry.
My point was, are the hollow suites the same as like Lover's Lane?
That's what I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet. Like you can take your lover anywhere in a hollow suite. That's pretty cool.
Hollow suite. Quark's girlfriend, you know, the one who got stepped on the forehead by a chicken. Mm-hmm. Well, she is the most 90s character I have ever seen. The clothes, the voice, the alien makeup. It's like she walked right out of one of those video games of the 90s, like the live action cinematic ones. I don't know.
Absolutely.
It was a flashback.
And to build on that, it was really weird to see Quark, a main character, just used as plot setup for the rest of the episode. Like, here's Quark. All right. Thanks, Quark. Bye, Quark.
Exactly.
I'll say this about the Holosuite's Lover Lane. I just listened to a podcast today about lovers, the existence or non-existence of the tunnels of love, which are in cartoons and in the world, but not seemingly based on an actual thing, really. So that's all I have to say about Lover's Lane.
Since everyone uses like food replicators, does that mean you need special permission or training to cook yourself? It seems only captains have the option of cooking in their quarters, like Pike and Sisko. Is that it? Like only captains can use like actual real flame or like.
That's a good point.
Jumping off of what John was saying, I wonder if any of this ROM subplot with Quark that they kind of kept kind of touching on is going to play into part two. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's I'm curious to see what Cam thinks of part two, considering this is a 3-part story.
What?
Yep. Jumped in right into season two with a 3-parter. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll say this about Rom and Quark. It's nice to know that in the future that CEOs are still making 6 or 7 times more than their employees.
Yeah.
And not spreading that wealth.
And Rom's his brother. I mean, that's the worst part. Right. Alliance for Global Unity, the circle. Okay, so this is Bajor for Bajor. This is nationalism, right? Globalism, yeah. I guess. Globalism. Is that what this is?
Yeah, it's we'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Well, so you know that this is a big deal when Kira's looking at the earring and has a revelation, because she rushes out of her room, leaving Quark there by himself.
In her bedroom.
Yeah. I really hope she washes all of her underwear when she gets back.
What underwear? There won't be any left.
I love that scene, actually, though.
I think it's awfully hypocritical of Miles O'Brien to be mad about graffiti spray paint for some kind of resistance cell. It's like, you're Irish, dude.
Hello.
I mean, like, there's a little bit of a tradition there.
Exactly.
I liked the circle. I think it's cool. Reminded me of, what's the Game of Thrones? Like, there's the, like, underground guys running around Game of Thrones being... Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it now. I had it written down before.
You know, the Brothers Without Banners or something like
that?
Yeah,
one of those. I like a good underground resistance with a nice, you know, a nice tag. I think that's pretty intriguing stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool to see some graffiti, just like shit like that. Okay, Ghul Dukat is back! Mm-hmm. I just want to say, he's one of the best nemesis on Star Trek ever. That's all I can say. That's all I can say without completely spoiling a lot of things, but I'm so excited to see Duke! Gold cut.
Yeah. I'm missing the clothing designer Cardassian, though. Like, when's he come back? I want more of him.
He's fucking great, right, too.
Speaking of the circle, oh man, the Eyes Wide Shut crew were creepy as hell when they branded Quark. That was some creepy shit.
Yeah, those masks were amazing. I gotta say, bringing on Frank Langella in this role, like, man, good placement. I know he's a little bit canceled, but it's like, damn, Frank Langella, you're looking good.
I didn't realize he's canceled. I was gonna say, I have mixed feelings about the, like, hearing about the turmoil on Bajor, and not, you know, like, it's fun to see it from the eyes of this faraway space station, but I am looking forward to seeing it in practice. It's a little hard. Mm-hmm. It's a little funny just hearing about it in one or two sentences here and there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Cardassian response that we'll just chastise them accordingly. What the fuck does that mean? A stoning with angry wagging fingers and you have to sleep on a more uncomfortable bed? Like, a Cardassian prison has, like, just needles or jagged rocks? Like, how could it get worse?
Very harsh tisking. Yeah. Can you imagine if Picard was just tossing a baseball in the round in the air when he was, like, grappling with a moral quandary with Beverly?
That would have been awesome.
Very different captains.
This prison camp is a torture camp. Like, they're not mining anything with little wicker baskets, whatever that is. Like, the whole point is to make it as annoying as possible for those Bajoran prisoners to get anything moved.
Yeah, when they discover a full prison and not just rescuing one guy, couldn't they just turn around and just tell somebody and they'd say, hey, go scan this and you'll see a prison camp and you'll, like, that? Did they have to do the rescue mission after that? Couldn't they have just alerted the authorities and said, hey, stop it?
Well, the Cardassians probably would have just, like, got rid of them, or, you know, how do you prove it like that?
Cell phone camera.
Yeah.
Back to Quark and the branding. Why him? Is it because he's a symbol of capitalism? Like, what? It's because he interacts with all the species in the, like, why him?
He had a big forehead.
Oh, yeah.
That's good practice for the first one. Well, speaking of that prison camp, the first Bajoran prisoner they showed looked a lot like Eric Idle, which made me just think we were on the Monty Python's Life of Brian set for the rest of the scene.
I can't mention it during the intro. Man, talk about a reluctant Navark hero. Like, he does not want, he liked being in prison. He just wanted to stay there. He was cool with it. And it seems a little strange to me that he had no idea what anybody else's plans were for this whole episode.
I think it goes without saying that I think the O'Brien and Kira performances I think they did a pretty good job. I think it was pretty, I don't know. Yeah, I think they played their roles. I think it seemed that was some good acting as in character acting.
They have some pretty good chemistry, actually, as a duo, I would say. I agree with you, Rob. So here's the idea, that even the idea of a hero and the folklore is better as a fake hope and illusion. Is that, like, where we're still at? Does it matter if it's true or not? Is it just that we need to put someone in a pedestal and fucking, like, adore and love so we can move on? Is that it? Like, the guy, that's so sad.
Speaking of the guy, guys, we haven't talked about him yet. It's Ben fucking Horn, guys. This episode was one orgasmic eating of a baguette away from being Twin Peaks. Twin pylons.
Twin pylons. There we go. And I will say he cleaned up good. I mean, I even liked his little escape attempt to the Gamma Quadrant. He was going to run away big time. It wasn't just like sneaking away at night. Like, no, I'm going 60,000 light years away.
I will say until the log lady appears, I'm not sold. Cameron, I'm sorry. No log lady, no twin pylons.
Oh, we're more closing.
All right. Well, we got through eight. I guess that's pretty good for such a meaty episode.
But you do have a bucket, man. I mean, maybe Odo is the log lady. Just joking. Not even Rom. Close.
Rom's the log lady.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe Kira.
There's weird prophets who go around just like, or like, I have something to say.
Yeah, orb lady. There we go.
My lobes, my orbs. Yeah, my orb has something to say. All right. Well, part one of three, I guess. Wow. That's the first Star Trek three-parter, right? That we're amidst.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't end season one on a cliffhanger, but I guess they made it up for it with this one. All right. Well, I'm very eager to see where this goes. And hopefully if that means we have three episodes of Ben Horn, I am down.
Right. They purposely wanted to make this a completely DS9 plot, like nothing related to TNG, because they're like Deep Space Nine has to have its own trajectory. Like it's got to break up with TNG in a little bit. Right. So that's what this is about. Like, there's no way TNG can comment on this because it's in DS9 universe.
What I noticed was that Sisko is just like a completely different character from where he was a season ago.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the biggest stakes of this episode. I was like, I don't care about Bajoran politics, but like, I don't want to see Sisko go back to being all mopey and sad. Like, he's so happy-go-lucky here.
I didn't find him sad. It looked like he got laid and was like passing a baseball around going, I don't know what's going on with this like Bajoran shit, but like, go ahead, take the runabout, care, just don't fuck it up. And I'm just going to be like, woo, I got laid. Like, he's so weird.
They definitely made it feel like the crew has been together longer now. Like, like it's been some time passing. O'Brien's got a haircut. Everybody's just more comfortable talking to each other. It's nice.
Yeah. Kira told like the core group all her plans, which was risky if she had told too many people, but she told the right people. She trusts them.
Yeah. It seemed like a Kira move. Yeah.
I love that part because guess what, leader? These are your like people that below you, and they're the ones rowing the ship or impulsing the ship, whatever. Like, you need them on your side. So I kind of like that Kira was like, you know what, Sisko? I know what to do. I'm going to talk to all of your like trusted leaders. Yeah.
So much scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next week we'll be tackling TNG's liaisons.
Ooh.
And then we'll be back for part two of this the week after that.
Hell that's yeah.
Right. And then 2 weeks from that, our special guest, Barack Obama. Bruce Springsteen and Barack are going to be on. That's right.
That's right.
Wow.
For the DS9 minute, though. They only gave us 9 minutes and we said, we've got the podcast for you.
That's right.
You'll know it's them because of their earrings.
All right, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Right, be well.
Pimpin'. Big pimpin'.